Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, lawyers and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Can I get an A women?
Hey, women.
I want to welcome you to my 18th bedside chat of the Corona Apocalypse. That's right. Inspired by FDR's Fireside Chats, hosted by me, the Irreverend Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mistress of the airwaves, your mother professor. Yes, indeed. Here to chat and comfort and inform and eroticize and inspire you to seize the day the bonobo way. Yes, indeed. On our last bedside chat, we talked about the combat-geared federal stormtroopers storming the streets of Portland, injuring protesters and kidnapping others by orders of Erdrumpf, who we have masked and also gagged under gag order here in Bonoboville and under a mask. So, which he just started acknowledging that people should wear, but hasn't acknowledged for so many months of spreading. And since he can't beat the coronavirus, now that the deaths are up to 1,000 a day again, having fallen and now risen again, well, so he unleashes unmarked goons to excite his base and horrify the rest of us with a federal attack on peaceful protesters. Well, now it's a week later, and the Battle of Portland has escalated into what looks like, well, I mean, a war zone. Like, is that Oregon or Iraq? Really? I mean, no real bombs and bullets so far. But plenty of tear gas. Yes. Just like Erdrumpf used in Washington on the people to get out of the way so he could have his photo op with the Bible. And now it's all over Portland. Tear gas, pepper balls, beatings, stun grenades, rubber bullets, and more tear gas. Just so much of this stuff. It's really toxic fumes, plumes, and clouds choking people. And this, in a massive invasion of an American city. We're always saying, well, America isn't invaded. We invade other countries, which is really messed up. But now we are invaded by ourselves. Very strange. It's a war. Trump wants to be a war president. And you know what? He's losing. That's right. At least in the court of public opinion, he is definitely losing. In his ridiculous, sadistic, horrific fight against the people of Portland, against Black Lives Matter, of course, against the Wall of Moms. Yeah, check it out. All in yellow. And they say, we got your wall right here. You want a wall? We got a wall of dads, too. We got a wall of vets, you know? We got a wall of teachers. We got a wall of lawyers, you know? You always need a wall of lawyers, right? And, oh, and we've got Antifa, too. That's right, Antifa's there. And you know, don't believe the presidential hype. They are not terrorists. They don't even carry lethal weapons. And let's put it this way. Are you against fascism? Okay. You're anti-fascism. You're Antifa. So. And then, there is the naked Athena. And I have a picture here. It's Facebook friendly to look at. Naked Athena. An ethereal vision of classical beauty rising from the battlefield into the poisonous gas and smoke. A muse of peace through pleasure. Wearing nothing but a black face mask and a black beanie. Gracefully walking through the filthy streets as if she's on a Paris runway, facing a dozen overdressed, overarmed federal agents. Here's a shot we can show on our own site. You Facebookers can't see this. You have to see the censored shot. But if you want to see the uncensored shot of the naked Athena, you have to go to drsusanblock.com/live. Okay, gotcha. And yeah, look at her. Facing a dozen overdressed, overarmed federal agents and undressing them and disarming them. Yes, indeed, with her beauty and her poise, kind of like Lady Godiva. Yeah, we can show this picture of Lady Godiva on her horse to Facebook. Here you go. And we can show it all around. This is a classic picture of Lady Godiva riding naked on her horse through town to protest her husband, the Lord of Coventry's oppressive taxes. And yes, just like Lady Godiva, we have Lady Naked Athena. Here she is. I can't show this picture to Facebook. It would burn Marky Z's eyes worse than tear gas. But here she is, striking a pose, you know, a yoga position. as a protest, as the federal agents shoot these little fireballs at her feet, as she stands there so vulnerable, or sits, until the Portland police arrive too, and then they all turn around and leave. And they leave her, victorious in her vulnerability. In Greek mythology, Athena is the goddess of wisdom. Plato identified Athena's wisdom as moral intelligence and as the patron goddess of the city of Athens, one of the first democratic cities, well, at least as far as men, you know, Greek men. But Athena, as the patron saint, she is the goddess of democracy. Yes, indeed, and that is very fitting for our naked Athena, who is protesting our loss of democracy as the fascist forces invade American cities. And Athena is also the goddess of war in Greek mythology, actually. But unlike the war god Ares, who's kind of all about toxic male brutality, Athena is a strategic warrior, a powerful female trickster. Yes, indeed. And she's the one who is the patron of wily Odysseus, who invented the famous Trojan horse that the Greeks snuck into Troy and that then released the Greek soldiers, who basically won the Trojan War that way. They were losing, but the trick, the Athena-inspired trick, got them victory. And that is the style of our naked Athena. Yes, this is the PG version of the picture. Our naked Athena is like the Greek Athena, in that her success is not so much violence as it is strategy. She's winning the Battle of Portland, wearing nothing but her beanie and, of course, her mask. I love a woman in a mask and a hat in the coronapocalypse. And yes, yes, there are those who criticize her. Yes, as you can imagine. On both the right and the left, actually. On the right, of course, they call her a symbol of all that is wrong with the left. Decadence and immorality and nudity. But on the left, they also kind of criticize. They question her deserving all this attention. Not like she put out a press release, but she is getting a lot of attention. And they question that because, well, one group, because she's white and I guess you could say classically beautiful. And they just feel that, you know, maybe some other women, women of color, black women, who have been dancing near naked in front of the police also deserve positive attention. And some of them have gotten some negative attention. And I have to say that I think a lot of these other protesters, dancers, are really awesome. And I applaud all of their protests. I haven't seen any others naked, you know. I've seen a few in a G-string and a, you know, a T-shirt, but not completely naked. And although I commend them all for their bravery and their sexual spunk, I have to say there's something a little different about the naked Athena, her slow, mystical movement like a ballet in the bonobo way. And yes, there are others on the left as well as the right, but the thing that bothers me is the left, that slut shame the naked Athena and say, well, she's just an exhibitionist. Don't take her seriously. As though that negates her protest. But to me, it's just, you know, just like people wear signs on t-shirts and people try to attract attention in various ways. Wall Moms is an attention grabber. And so is a naked Athena. And that's a beautiful thing. So I feel her bravery and her artistry will stand as a symbol of erotic revolution in our history books. Well, if there are history books in America's uncertain future. Regardless, I feel that this is how to fight. One of the ways. I mean, the wall of grandmas and the wall of dads, that's all great. It's all beautiful. And this is a special kind of erotic beauty. A bonobo beauty, because the bonobos, of course, are very sexual and always naked with a lot of hair. And it's peace through pleasure in the non-violent tradition of Gandhi, of Martin Luther King, Femen, the women's group that gets naked or topless to make their points. So the naked Athena is an erotic highlight of the Battle of Portland. Yes, indeed, the federal invasion of an American city. And I don't mean to minimize the horror of this invasion by focusing on the naked Athena. I guess I just like her a lot. But yes, who's responsible for this invasion, huh? Who is responsible? Well, now we're going to have to give him a spanking. Because the president is responsible. The president who takes no responsibility for anything bad and takes all the credit for everything good, even when he doesn't deserve it, which is most of the time. Anyway, yes, this president has been pulling this con basically since he was a little boy, according to his niece, Mary L. Trump, PhD, author of Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. And I just finished reading it, and it's great. I mean, apparently little Donnie boy was neglected by a mother who got very sick when he was only about 2.5 years old. And a father who basically used him for his own ambitions, spoiling him rotten in a way, and threatening him with death in another way. Threatening him with death? Well, yes, because this same sociopathic father, who's Mary Trump's grandfather, Fred Trump, he basically pushed and punished Donnie's older brother, Freddie, until he died of alcoholism and just sheer stress. Just because he didn't want to be in the family business. But that was heresy. That was just awful to not be in the family business. And so he was belittled and pushed and cut off and tortured until he died. And of course, this is his daughter's interpretation. But I think a lot of us can relate. We know what she's talking about. And the lesson of his older brother Freddie's death, which he helped quicken, Donald, the younger brother, saying, "Dad thinks you're wasting your life," because he was a pilot for, like, I don't know which, I think it was TWA. He was a big fancy pilot. That's a big accomplishment, but not in the family business. That makes you worthless. And Donald was not hesitant in letting his brother, older brother, Freddie, know that he was worthless. And then he died. Shortly, well, at a young age. So, this taught Donnie the lesson. A very bad, evil lesson, in a way. Things we learn are not always good. And Donnie learned that being vulnerable was weak. And taking responsibility for mistakes would get you killed. So he never takes responsibility. And he never admits to any vulnerability or weakness. Not that we can't see all of his vulnerabilities and weaknesses, even more so because he doesn't admit to them. That's the ironic thing about being so narcissistic. You really can't see what a fool you are. Or if he can see it, he just can't help it. Papa Fred taught little Donnie to divide and conquer. That's exactly what he did in the Trump family. He divided everybody against each other, sisters and brothers and grandchildren against each other. And isn't that what big Donnie is doing with us? He feels at home with division, not unity. And Papa Fred also taught little Donnie, when you're in trouble, attack, 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 no matter what. He taught him that words are weapons, including sexual comments, of course. So, you know how I love sexual comments, but sometimes they're delivered to insult and embarrass. And the most, like, attentive thing that Uncle Donald said to his only niece ever was, "Holy shit, Mary, you're stacked." Yeah. Which, of course, you know, I'm sure was his honest appraisal. He was seeing her in a bathing suit by the pool in Mar-a-Lago. And and it's certainly his chief measure of a woman's worth. So there is that. He wasn't lying like he usually lies. But certainly he was meaning his comment to hit like a weapon of embarrassment, to embarrass Mary. Enough that later she wrote a book. So, you know, sometimes these weapons backfire. And to embarrass his wife at the time, standing next to him while he's saying this to his niece, and that was Marla Maples. So, yes, trying to hurt. You know, it's not always a good idea. It backfires. People are offended, and they may not get you right there, but they will get revenge later, and certainly Mary Trump is getting her revenge in this book. Now, Mary does give Donald a little more credit than even I would give him, because she blames his sadism and narcissism and just general free-floating sociopathy mostly on Grandpa, Fred. But really, if you think about it and you read her book, you see, Fred had a difficult childhood too. He did, in most ways more difficult than Donald. Donald didn't really have a difficult childhood. He just had a crazy-making childhood. But Grandpa Fred, you know, his dad, Donnie's granddad, Friedrich Drumpf, the one that changed it to Trump, because he couldn't, Germany wouldn't let him live there, so he had to come back to America, and then he changed it to Trump. And he died when his son Fred was only 12 years old, making Fred the man of the house at the age of 12. And of course, what did he die of? We talked about that last week. The influenza pandemic of 1918. Isn't that like mystical? I mean, now here his grandson, Donald Trump, is dealing with, is supposedly leading us. I can't even say leading. And actually, he's not even dealing with it. But he's trying to avoid the pandemic of 2020, 100 years later. And you'd think he'd be sensitive to people dying of COVID because his own grandfather died of the influenza that they called Spanish flu, but that really wasn't Spanish. It originated in Kansas. But Americans, this is why Donald Trump is so American. Americans love to avoid responsibility. So Spanish flu is how we call it. But yeah, I mean, you'd think he'd be sensitive, but no. In fact, maybe it's one of the reasons he's so insensitive. Gotta be tough. Ignore it. And, you know, just because you ignore it doesn't mean it'll go away. In fact, it gets worse if you ignore a problem like this. And that's what's happening with us under the Trumpus. And yeah, you know, not that a rough childhood is any excuse. I mean, a lot of people have a rough childhood. The fact that Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer or King Leopold of Belgium had rough childhoods, you know, that's no excuse for their crimes. That's true. So, even though Mary kind of gives him a little slack, very little though, if you like family drama and a good backstory, it's a great read, and it is a warning to all. She says she wrote it because Donald, along with her grandfather, destroyed her father. And she just doesn't want them, well, him, but really, the way she writes, it's like the grandfather is inside of Donald, almost directing him. In fact, when he's looking for approval, which he always is doing, he's really looking for it from her dad, from his dad, Mary's grandfather. And so, yeah, it destroyed her father, and she doesn't want it to destroy our country. So she's telling us to beware, brothers and sisters. Be very aware. Yes. We've got fascism storming the streets of Portland, and maybe some other cities too. Seattle is trying to do protests in support of Portland, but they're declaring them riots and threatening to go into other cities as well. And if we the people don't stand up or sit down. Well, you just watch and it'll overtake every aspect of life in America. And that might be what happens, but I, for one, am going to do what I can to stop it. You got to do what you got to do. I got to do what I got to do. And one of the things I got to do is these bedside chats, you know, inspired by FDR's fireside chats, interviewing people who can talk about culture and sexuality, and talking about current events with you and with my darling Captain Max. How you doing, Max?
I am doing actually fine. You told the story about Trump's grandfather. There's one of the head Nazis in the White House. I think his name is...
Stephen Miller?
Stephen Miller, right.
His grandmother just died.
His grandmother died, apparently, or they say, from COVID. He says no. But then, of course, you can't believe him because he's a guy that wants to kill old people.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's good for the budget. The more people that die, the better.
I don't know what happened to him in his childhood, but...
Well, I don't know what his parents did to him, but this is a nice Jewish guy who's turned Nazi.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically.
And,
you know.
And he's got a grandmother who apparently died of COVID. I mean, she definitely had COVID, and then she died. And so, you know, I don't know how they determine what she died of, but it sounds pretty related. And then he's got a girlfriend. Well, she's his wife now. And I haven't heard, has she gotten over her COVID? She contracted it. It's surrounding him. But, you know, he cherishes his position as the Goebbels of the Trump administration.
Righto. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Biden is no panacea. And listen, all y'all know I'm a Bernie bro, Bernie babe. But Biden's the candidate, and I mean, look at it this way. It's like we're living in a house that's really in need of repairs, badly in need of repairs. And then suddenly it catches fire. Well, we got to put out the fire before we can get on with the repairs. And Trump is the fire. So if we get Biden in there, if we get Trump out, we can go about repairing America. But we got to get this lunatic out of there. And then I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll be terrible. But I think the repairs can get underway of the house that we live in. And speaking of our house, the Bonoboville house, I just want to say, Anna is doing really good.
She's doing
convalescing.
Great.
For those of you who are keeping track of our wonderful bonobo Anna, Anna Banana.
And she does not have COVID.
No. Yeah, no. She had, can I say?
She had an operation.
She had an operation. Yeah, she had surgery.
A serious one.
Very serious. But she's recovering very nicely. It's all good. So we're very happy about that. And she just snuck in between the COVID rushes in the hospital.
And she's kind of a tough lady, you know. I mean, she came to America in a van that dropped her off in the middle of nowhere. And they had to walk for miles.
Yes.
Now, of course, she's here legally and all of that. But that's a tough journey from Guatemala to here to find a new life and freedom.
Yes.
For her children, for her grandchildren.
Right, It's amazing. And amazing. So no wonder she can make the walk from her room to the kitchen pretty easily. I mean, and the doctors had said she wouldn't be walking for like a month, and it's about 2 weeks, and she's walking a lot.
The doctors don't know Anna.
No, right. No, she's doing great. And let's see. So we saw a great movie this week, Shawshank Redemption.
We did.
Recommended by my client, and we'll talk more about that. It's a very moral film, very very good film. It's about freedom, really, and how you can end your own incarceration when you have to. So okay, I think I'm ready for my fabulous guests.
Okay.
Yes, very excited. I have. A couple of really sexy guests. And so I'm going to pull my mask down now so that I can smile at them and at you. And this is Miss Mei Ling. Welcome
to
the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm very happy to have you. And you look very beautiful in your, looks like a latex outfit.
Thank you. A little black dress, but dominatrix style.
Yes, a little black dress. Well, you are a dominatrix, of course. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. I like the littleness of it. It's very cute. And you're cute. I mean, in fact, you're known as the adorable dom, aren't you?
Yeah.
And is that something you came up with for yourself, or is that something someone came up with for you?
It's a tagline that I came up with for myself. When I started becoming into the whole industry, my perception of a dominatrix was latex, leather, super strict, disciplinarian, dom.
You were looking at dominatrixes and you saw these strict disciplinarian type personalities and you thought, oh.
I didn't see that really. I mean, that was just the stereotypical first thought of what you think of. And I tried at the beginning to be that person. And it's so hard to be somebody that you're not. It's just living a double life. And so I just figured, hey, be yourself. And people love it.
Yes. And yourself is more of a, as you say, girlfriend that bullies you.
Yes, exactly. I'm the sweet girl that you just want to do things for because she's so sweet. She pushes your boundaries, you know? You just want to be better.
And so what kind of boundaries do you really like to push? What are your specialties?
Oh, many good ones. But if I had to narrow them down, they would be ball busting. I love ball busting.
Ball busting.
Ball busting.
I don't even have balls and it hurts already.
I do.
Ever since I was young, it was so natural. You just were told, hey, don't hurt that. And so, of course, you think, oh, that's going to be fun. Hurt
now,
that.
Wait a second. Ever since you were young, are you talking about on the playground or how
young?
Yeah. Yeah. So
exactly.
When you were like
in school. And during kickball, you accidentally kick somebody and, you know, they kind of fall to the ground and you kind of laugh because, you know, it's funny.
Well, not everyone laughs. Some people feel like, oh, I'm sorry. But you have a streak of sadism, it sounds like.
Just a bit.
And so what kind of school did you go to? Did you go to one of those schools where you wear a uniform or?
Public school.
Public school. No uniform.
No uniform.
Uh-huh.
No.
And where'd you grow up?
Orange County, close to LA.
Okay. Right down south of here.
Yeah, and now I live in Vegas after traveling the world for about 4 years.
Wow, you traveled the world. Did you travel the world as a dom or as just...
You know, I started out working for the government and I realized, wow, this is just not me. I love the power, but it's not me. And so I traveled the world after Burning Man, and I pretty much explored my kinky side, my explored that realm, and really just got to see the world in a different way than anybody else could, because everybody who I met with was just basically sharing so much more than a normal interaction would be. These connections and bonds are just so strong. And yeah, I got to see the world in a very different way.
I gotta ask, and I don't know how much of an answer you can give, but you worked for the government? What kind of work were you doing?
Emergency management.
Emergency, so like what we're going through now?
Yes.
Wow.
I got called to work it again, and I said, nope, you probably don't want me back, if they knew what I was doing right now. But you know.
Well, actually, I think you'd be pretty good at it, because DOMs sometimes have to deal with emergencies and be pretty, you know, kind of quick to help people if their ropes are too tight, or you know, you know, if you're doing the cock and ball torture, I mean, whatever you're doing, you have to be pretty careful that you apply the torture and the pain that the submissive needs and that you apparently crave, but you don't, like, you know, create a emergency room situation.
Yeah, that's something that I really learned with traveling around the world. There's a language barrier. And when you go to another country and you don't speak the language, we all speak the same language, and it's body language.
Body language, of course.
Whenever there was, you know, brief negotiation of what we would do, there's only so much you can say and try to get across. But once you continue into the session, you can really quickly tell whether they're into it or they're not. And I learned a lot about how to read people just by their bodies and their language.
Wow. So you traveled the world. What was your favorite place that you visited?
Japan. They are so weird.
Right. Now, Sunshine's been to Japan. Sunshine lived in Japan as a teacher.
Not only.
For 2 years.
Uh-huh. So why do you think that Japanese are weird? In a sexual way weird, or in another way?
I feel like they really honed in on keeping themselves authentic, and being an island, keeping themselves apart from everybody else. So yeah, they really held true to their culture and their traditions, which is pretty amazing. And then, just the kink world is just so big there.
Yes, and I'm glad that you explained that, because some people might think the word weird is an insult or a slur, and you didn't mean it that way. You just meant that they are different than a lot of other cultures, because they have kind of kept themselves a little bit isolated, and that makes for a lot of very interesting cultural art, and also for very interesting fetishes. So now you're from Orange County. Is your family from Asia?
Yes.
Which part?
China? Vietnam.
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 Ooh, who's mom or dad or?
Both of them.
Both of them. And were they there during the Vietnam War?
Yes, and then they fled to the States during it.
Wow, yeah. That must have been rough. I mean, that was, I mean, I, all the wars that the United States starts, I mean, I the Vietnam War, wow, that was a wicked war, very, very wicked. And Nixon and LBJ perpetrated that war.
Yeah. And a lot of war protests. I was one of them, of course.
Yes.
As Dr. Susie. That was an incredible criminal act that the United States perpetuated on the Vietnamese people.
Just as we perpetuated a criminal act on the Iraqi people.
On the Iraqi people.
And the Afghani people. But
the black people.
And of course, the black people that we've brought over here to be slaves. Jesus, what is wrong with us? Us meaning Americans, which we all are, even though we may not have been there during these horrible times. But yeah, the difference with the Vietnam War was, of course, there was an American draft. And that's what brought a lot of Americans out into the streets to protest and end it.
Yeah, now they only send poor people over there.
Yeah.
Only 1% of people go in the army nowadays. And so the rich people's children aren't dying. So the war goes on and on and on. We need a citizen. We need a citizen army, not a mercenary army. And that's basically what we have now. We'll pay you, you go kill.
Yeah. Well, the problem with a citizen army is nobody wants to be drafted.
Right.
And that they got.
Because nobody wants to kill.
Right, right. Nobody wants to kill except the leaders because it's good for business. But it's not good for people.
War is a business thing.
It is, so mostly for the bomb makers.
By the way, can I ask her a question?
Yes. Now that we've gone off to talk about politics.
You are in a Republican stronghold. Tell us about what some Republicans like when they're in your chamber.
Well, it depends. It's a wide variety of things.
Yes.
Do you think there's a difference between conservatives and liberals or Democrats and Republicans regarding what kind of fetishes or kinks they might have?
You know what? I really don't think so. Mm. First of all, I never ask if they're Republican or Democrats.
Okay.
That's not part of the form that they fill out.
Yeah, okay. Part of our form. No.
So I don't know, and I don't talk about politics with them. It just gets way too heated, and it gets when they come to me, they want to escape. They want to completely shut off everything outside of the world and just focus on me and pleasing me and making me happy. So yeah, we don't talk about any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk about it with your family at all, or not with them either?
No, not really.
So you don't talk about politics at all?
No. Nope.
Do you have a political belief that you keep to yourself, or do you just take your mind away from that?
It gets too heated sometimes, and so I tend to just meditate and really focus on myself and just do the best of which I can do, be the best version of me, and hopefully reflect that out into the world, and then that allows other people to see that and be better versions of themselves.
All right.
I don't really like to pick and choose certain things because there's good in both sides.
Now, speaking of meditating, I really enjoyed your little Zen journey through music, where you're playing this gong, or it's a special kind of pan gong. What is it called?
It's a hand pan.
Hand pan. Okay, which is like a gong sound, but with different notes. And you play it with these sort of drumsticks, but they're not actually drumsticks. They're dildos. So it's kind of like a dong gong or a gong.
Dong gong, exactly.
It's amazing. And they're very big dildos, so it's very impressive.
I was actually trying to play it with my hands, but my nails were too long.
Oh, so you picked up the dildos, and they are hilarious.
Exactly. You use what you have.
Innovative.
And they are so, you are so beautiful and so meditative and so mystical. You're a little bit like the naked Athena in your, you know, kind of soulful attitude. And yet, you know, you've got these dildos, these big dongs in your hands, and it's just so funny and mystical at the same time. Do your clients have as good a sense of humor as you do?
You know what? It's a huge bonus if they do. And we tend to have a better DS dynamic, Dom sub relationship if they do.
Sure.
It's just like any relationship. If you have a really good sense of humor and we click, it's just going to be amazing. And we're just going to have fun. And the time just passes by without knowing it. And a lot of the times during sessions, I'll just humiliate them, but consensually, they want it.
They want it.
And
sense of humor always helps there with humiliation,
absolutely.
Coming up with these names for people.
Absolutely. And they love it. And they tend to ask me, are you also a stand-up comedian here in Vegas? Is
well,
there
you
a
could
show
be.
You'll do afterwards?
Well, I was just talking to Sunshine about that. We know several porn stars who are stand-up comedians, one of which is Sally Mullins, and she's an amazing porn star, an amazing stand-up comedian. But I don't know if I know of a Dom that is actually a stand-up comedian. And you might try it sometime.
You could be the first. You could be the first.
Yeah, nowadays they're doing all these comedy nights online anyway, so it's not like you have to even go anywhere.
There would be so many jokes about subs. And
exactly.
You should try. Oh, my God. I was a stripper comedian, and now there's like a few of them. I've met quite a few of them. And it's like, dude, create your niche in the market.
Yeah. Dom.
Absolutely.
Femme Dom comedian. You bet. Okay. Well, you got the idea here, but I think you should do it. I'll be your manager.
Thank you.
And I think that would be really, really fun for you. So what else do you want to tell us? What else do you want us to know about you and how to please you?
Speaking of niches, this comes up as very taboo in my mind. I don't think it's taboo, but I definitely find putting men or adults, not just men, in diapers to be extremely fun.
Oh, diapers. Wow. You know, I'm just writing an article about that for the Dr. Susan Block Institute site. So tell me more about that, because, you know, I do have a lot of clients who are adult babies and who want to be put into diapers. And they tell me they have a terrible, hard time finding dommy mommies to diaper them and to get into that. Why do you like it?
I don't know why it's so rare, but for me, it just like made complete sense, because I've always wanted to have kids, but not really actually have kids and like raise them and everything.
Okay.
So might as well just have this session where I can have that maternal, caring, fun, playful experience without really having to change the poopy diaper. It's a win-win.
That's such a great way of expressing that, you know, and I'm guessing you are child-free at the moment.
I am child-free.
Okay. And I mean,
I do have a bunch of people in diapers.
Right. And they're your children.
Around.
They are your children.
Do they buy their own diapers, or do you provide
them?
They do.
Diapers get expensive.
Well, yeah.
And they buy their own.
There's all these different.
I guess you can choose what they wear, though.
They get Depends. They get Bombinos. There's all these different styles. Now, do they pee in the diaper? I mean, do you change the diaper when they do that?
They do pee in them, and it just gets more fun when they pee more and more and more until they just basically leak out of themselves.
Oh, wow.
And it brings you back to like childhood where, you know, you kind of peed yourself in school and you're just so embarrassed. You're like, oh my goodness, I have to run out. It's humiliating.
It is humiliating.
Now you can take, you know, pleasure from that humiliation and do it as an adult and not have that control because you've given it over to me. And it's fun to, and right now, especially right now during Corona times, you can walk outside with diapers on.
Yes.
And have a binky or a pacifier underneath your mask.
I have my Trump doll with his binky on right now. We're keeping him under gag order with his binky. He's got a binky in his, because he is a big baby. I mean, I know you're not political, but he's a big, big baby. He really, the book backs me up on that. But in any case, diaper wearing is actually a lot more common than people think, because it's not one of those things that most people talk about. Not something that most people brag about. But a lot of people, you know, I mean, toilet training is traumatic when it works, let alone when it doesn't quite work, you know. And it's like you're forcing the child to control him or herself. And, you know, most of us go along with it, and it's great, and we don't even think about it. But it's, for some people, very tormenting and traumatizing. And for some people, it's not only humiliating, but maybe such a release to just be able to let that pee flow without running to the bathroom.
Exactly. And I feel like growing up and being an adult, you take on all these responsibilities. You take on so much of what your parents have given you and what society has given you on how you should act, how you should behave, how you should do anything in order to be accepted in society. And during play, during this time, it takes you back to when things were so much more simpler.
Yes.
It takes you back, it takes away from all that judgment and negativity or anything that comes with it. And you just get to be a kid. You just get to have fun and do whatever you want. And everything that you do is just correct, as long as it's to please me, of course.
Right. And, of course, this is all between consenting adults. But it's about playing like a child. And and that's what's really wonderful about kink, a lot of kink. But certainly the diaper play is focused on that. So, you know, you are so much fun. The time has flown talking to you.
Dr. Susan.
Oh.
Yes.
First, so quick.
Yeah.
See what happens when you have fun?
It goes fast. So, Dr. Susie, Don is watching the show.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to know, where can I find, connect with her?
Oh, yes. Well, we're
Facebook.
Absolutely.
Or, you know,
now that we're
also
winding up.
He says, bless you.
And God bless me.
Yeah.
Really? Well, Goddess bless you, Don. Thank you so much for inviting God to bless me. I appreciate that.
You're wonderful. Do you do house calls? You can come change my diapers.
So I feel like I have a diaper around my neck now, this mask. Everything's going to feel like a diaper now. So where do we find you? Let's just go over that.
The easiest way is social media. I'm on Twitter at Miss May Ling, all one word, MissMaeLing, or Instagram, which is at Adorable Dom, DOMME, all one word. And of course, my website is MissMaeLing.com, Miss May Ling.
All right, Miss May Ling, either a girlfriend who bullies you or a dommy mommy who takes care of you. So you do a lot of things. And also, you're a good musician with the dildo drumsticks.
Yeah, by the way, this is the radio part of it. But when we do the TV part, you'll have a commercial in there for your site. And you'll be playing your dildo...
Dongong.
Dongong.
And we'll also show that cute little promo you did with the lovely lady. Okay, good luck to you. I hope to have you back, Mei Ling, through Zoom, or if you ever come to LA and we're over this pandemic, come visit us.
I would love to. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
Pleasure is mine.
Be safe.
Yeah. Peace through pleasure, brothers and sisters. Miss Mei Ling.
She was
very interesting. I you know, that diaper play was, you know, out of the blue and very interesting, because I am writing an article about that.
I love you so much.
I'll change your diaper.
No.
Oh, somebody's saying that?
Yeah. I love you so much, Dr. Susie.
Aw, who's saying that?
It's Dan.
Oh, Dan, thank you so much. You know, I think we're bringing out the love talking about, you know, adult babies so much. But Yes, if you guys want to give us a call, I'm going to give out the number now, which I haven't given out until now. But we do take calls, although we have another fabulous guest coming up just now.
Well, we do take calls if you know how to use your phone.
Oh, yes, a lot of people
don't. While you're watching the show, and maybe we should send you instructions or something.
Yes, yes. Your phone can be used as a phone, believe it or not. And you can call. You just press these numbers, 626-461-5212. That's 626-461-5212 if you have a question or a comment about sex. And my next guest is a really fabulous porn star.
I just want to add that you can call from anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that you guys are watching over in London. I know you're watching in Italy. I know you're watching all over the world. So call now.
It's yes. Free. Call now.
Call now.
But now I'm hoping we have our other guest.
Yeah.
Ready? Is she ready?
No, we need a minute. So
okay.
Yeah, so wherever you are, one of the things that you can do is you can call. I know it's kind of old-fashioned, and a lot of people today don't know how to talk on phones.
Right.
They
they're so used
to
texting.
On phones. Yeah, they're used to texting. That's not very human, but it's okay. So phones, though, are very intimate, very intimate.
Yes.
We're ready to go.
And we're ready to go. Let's talk with Bianca Burke.
Hi.
Hi. There you are. Wow. So nice to see you. Have you zoom into Bonoboville from also from Vegas. We really got the Vegas connection tonight. How's Vegas for you, Bianca?
You know what? It has been kind of fun. I hung out with some boys today at the pool.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That means new guys that you didn't know before or some
yes,
guys
Yes, that
didn't...
is correct. New guys that I did not know before. I think they're from like Chicago or something like that. But yeah, they were in town. They wanted to like hang out. And so I did. And they got a little bit jealous, but
jealous.
It was so fun. Yeah, because I don't know. One guy liked me a lot, and I
the other guy likes
you know
more.
I didn't reciprocate, right? And like his other friends, I guess, also liked me, and the guy that liked me was kind of like jealous because he thought that I was like I don't know trying to like you know be naughty with his friends, and I'm like, dude, chill. I'm just sitting on his lap. Nothing is happening, kind of thing. So
wow, I bet you could easily inspire that in a lot of guys. It must be a challenge to not have fights break out over your attentions.
Do you ever do gangbangs?
Oh, yeah. I've only done one professionally. That was a lot of fun. It was just me. So it was like me and like five other guys, which
five.
I mean,
wow.
That's like every girl's dream, right? You know, to be surrounded
sure.
by guys.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I liked it. I had a good time.
And what about, I mean, would these two guys have been okay together, or I guess not?
No.
You know, I don't know. I didn't ask, but, okay, so there's one guy that had, like, blue shorts. He was, you know, not too bad, kind of cute. Him and then maybe, like, the skinny guy, like, I would be okay with asking them if they wanted to, you know, do something, like, the three of us, for sure. I'd want to ask that. But I don't know if they would agree to it. They might.
So right now you're in a hotel room. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. So this is a situation. So I was flown out to Vegas, and I usually come here like at least like once a month when, you know, COVID is not happening.
Uh-huh.
To shoot like professional porn. Like 99% of porn is shot in LA, in Chatsworth or in Woodland Hills. And then about like, I don't know, maybe like 10%, maybe, I don't know, 5% or something like that is shot in, like, Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So, and then with the pandemic, they have, like, new testing parameters.
Yeah.
So, like, typically, you know, all talent, porn stars, you know, boys and girls, have to be tested every 2 weeks for STDs.
Right.
And
now
for
COVID. Now for COVID, you have to be tested more.
For COVID specifically, yes, you have to be tested more often for COVID because the test for that only lasts 3 days.
Yeah.
So, and you have to have it, you know,
wow.
like, I don't know, like 24
yeah.
hours or something before like your first shoot. So
yeah.
what happened was for me, I don't know, I'm bad at like math and calculating. Hello, which is why I'm like a porn star slash stripper, not a mathematician.
Well, you could count the guys.
I was like, well, I was going to have my shoot today, and then the other two were going to be tomorrow, Sunday. So I was like, well, if I get, you know, my COVID test on Friday, since it only lasts 3 days, it'll be perfect and it'll, you know, keep me all the way through until Sunday. I'll be great. And so that's what I did. But like, the results, like, you know, didn't come back until like, you know, I don't know, like earlier this morning. But I guess like, the director wanted to have me come to the shoot house since I was going to be staying there. And he wanted me to have like the test results already in my hand to show, if that makes sense. So because I didn't, then they wanted me to stay like in a hotel, you know, to kind of follow the protocol, for like
right.
keeping people safe.
So that's
like
what you're doing now.
Like
you're waiting
yeah,
for
so that's
your,
like what I'm doing now, yeah.
For your scene.
But basically for me, like I've been, you know, tested for COVID, you know, a lot of different times, like over the pandemic. I've been around people, well, they didn't directly have it, I guess, but like someone else that they were caring for had it or something, you know, along those lines. And
so the test that you take, is that where they stick the swab up your nose?
So there's two different tests. There's two different testing facilities. So teletesting, they do like the throat swab,
uh-huh.
and then CET testing, they do the nasal swab. And I will tell you, oh my gosh, like I have bad sinuses in general, right? So when I have like a nasal swab going into my nose, oh my gosh, it just exacerbates it, irritates it.
So you are used to, of course, long things entering your holes.
Yeah, but in a good way. Like, you know, like in a vagina or like your asshole or something like that, but like in your nose.
In your nose. It's a little, that's not so good. But your mouth, I guess that's easier to take when they get the culture from your mouth.
Oh my God, yeah, oh, so much. And right. Actually, speaking of noses, okay, the other night I got to work with Jack Slayer and like Disciples of Desire, which God, can I say Disciples of Desire, like I'm fangirling over their content because it's absolutely amazing, like everybody loves their stuff. But okay, for like the first time ever, I peed on Jack's dick. I've never done that before.
It was
and
pee.
Then we were in the shower together, like there was a shower scene that we were shooting. Jax had to pee, and like the guy that was like, you know, shooting for the shower scene, he was like, why don't you just pee on her? I was like, I mean, I guess. So, like, a little bit, like, got on my nose.
Wow. So, interesting. I mean, you know you were peeing, not squirting?
Oh, 1,000,000,000%.
Okay.
I had to go to the bathroom. So, yeah, it was
pee.
I told him to stop the scene.
You know.
I had to pee. And then they were like, oh, just pee on Jack. So, I'm like, okay. So, yeah, no, it was not one of those things where I'm like, oh, my God, I'm coming so hard. I'm also going to, you know, squirt. No, it wasn't like that.
Okay. But now Jax is someone that we were watching a scene with you and him. Not this one because it was already up somewhere. But mm-hmm. It was a very hot scene, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. We've done, like, I don't know, like maybe 3 now or something, maybe a little bit more. And the one that a lot of my guy friends like is the one where we're, like, fucking in a hotel.
That's
like,
the
one
we were watching.
Friends, mm-hmm. He is, like, this nurse that works in, like, the ER or something like that. And, like, he's watched it, like, at least, like, 10-15 times.
Okay, well, we're
really
we're running, we're gonna be
so
running
a lot of my
that
like
that's good.
In my pussy. Oh. Oh.
You're in a pussy, don't you?
Oh. Oh. Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Oh. Oh. Oh, God damn. Oh, motherfucker, you. Fuck. God damn. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Fuck. What did you tell? everybody your name, baby.
Bianca. Bianca Burt.
Bianca Burt.
Yeah.
Definitely be saying more to you.
I hope so.
So what do you, what are your favorite parts of that scene, and why is Jack such a hot lover?
Okay, for the hotel scene, yeah. I would say probably towards the end where he's just like fucking me from behind, and it sounds like kind of aggressive, right? And like he's pulling my hair back, and I liked it because it's authentic, right? Like he's pulling my hair back, and like my neck is like in such a way where like I like the noises I'm making are like not my favorite, but I, like I said, it's like authentic, and I'm not like, taking it, so that was like very real.
Yeah,
so I really like that. Like I hadn't really filmed any scenes yet at that point when we got together that were like, you know, kind of like aggressive like that, so that's why I liked it.
Very
and
passionate.
Then, Jax is basically, I mean, he's a chill guy, you know, one of my favorite heights, 6'4" is my favorite height. One of my fuck boys from the Midwest where I'm from, like he's 6'4" and oh my God, love that.
And Jax is about that
but
tall.
He's just chill. Like he doesn't have any kind of like attitude. He doesn't try to like throw like temper tantrums about anything. He just wants to like have sex and make like a good scene, and it's just nice to work with that, you know.
And
have
he
sex
slays
with
you.
Him.
He's Jack.
Yeah,
Slayer.
He is. He really is. Like he's a big beastie man, and I love that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's got like the broad shoulders. He's got the muscles. I mean, he looks good, you know.
And the cock.
Oh, it's perfect! Wow, like
I don't
oh my
know
God.
Anything
like,
about
about
this guy. I'm gonna have to look him up. I've never.
You'll
know
see
nothing.
Him on this show.
Yeah, like his cock is I don't know, maybe like the width of my wrist, and maybe goes like from my wrist like all the way down to like my elbow, like in length, like I don't know, 10 inches, 12
yeah.
or something like that. And it's amazing. Like he could literally just either have his cock sitting in my pussy like all day, not even moving it, and it would be great, or he can just be like fucking me literally all day, and it'd be awesome.
So I really like your little bedroom slippers there. They're like little snuggly things. But can we see your feet? I mean, can you take one off?
Yeah, totally. Let's see. I have like a sock on.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I got like a pedicure. So I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, now I can see.
Yeah, it's like
nice.
Nude nail polish or whatever.
Yeah, very nice.
Usually
nice.
I get,
very
like the
nice.
Last time I got my pedicure done before this, this was when like the nail salons had opened up, right? Like in LA. So,
are you
yeah,
from LA?
Are you
where are you from originally?
The Midwest. But I usually have to do like French tip on my
what
on my
state?
Toes.
What state are you from?
I'm going to say
I didn't know that would be difficult.
Indiana.
Wow, Indiana. So you moved around a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of people from the Midwest that are in porn. I was very
yes.
surprised.
Well, you got to escape, you know,
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
And it's that nice religious upbringing, I think.
Did you decide to
you
get
know,
into
I
porn?
I actually grew up
yeah.
very strict Catholic. My dad, before he married my mom, studied in the seminar for a little while, like maybe a year, I want to say, or something like that. So it was, you know, church every Sunday, you know,
wow.
I've done like all the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
He like, you know, read the Bible, like, I don't know, every day or something like that, every other day.
Reading the Bible is obviously a gateway drug, you know, to porn.
So is that how you started?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how you started porn, by eating the body of Christ?
And drinking his blood.
Actually,
and drinking
no.
his blood.
His semen. Yeah. Mm.
I didn't, to be honest, I only started porn last summer.
And oh, wow. You're
wow.
very prolific. I have the Jackhammer
yeah,
Jesus
new.
Here.
And
if,
I will say
you like
that I didn't really get into like the idea of porn until probably maybe like the spring of 2019. Like, swear to God, like on God, like it wasn't something that I dreamed about my entire life or anything like that. It was kind of like, you know, I've kind of been like wanting to, you know, like move out of like the Midwest, I don't know. I want to just like do something different, like have like a little bit of fun. And I feel like this would be like a lot of fun.
Well,
so,
you certainly seem like you're having a lot of fun. That's, I think, one of your secrets to success is like you just look like you're having a great time with all this sex.
What were you doing before you were doing porn?
I was actually stripping full time. I started that full time probably like in 2015. And before that, it was basically just like 9 to 5, like office jobs, like typically like in healthcare. But, you know, like in healthcare, like you don't really get like a lot of respect from the people that you're working with or the patients that you work with.
That's
and like, you know,
so
the money
terrible.
That you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks. So you're like, I'm putting up with all these disrespectful people, and like, you know, people that I'm working with kind of suck. And like, and when you're stripping, it's like if you get any kind of disrespect, like you're getting paid a lot of money, so it's like you can kind of deal with it. Or it's like, you know what, you can like walk out, like, you know what, I've been on the floor for 2 hours, everybody freaking sucks, goodbye, I'm going home, and nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
If you did that in the, you know, like a doctor's office where you work, they'd fire you, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and it's,
there's like a lot more flexibility. I feel like
it's less dangerous than being a stunt woman for Hollywood, you know? I mean, it's...
So I've heard.
People say it's dangerous, but, you know, there's a lot of things that are a lot more dangerous. You do well. I mean, it's not for everybody, obviously, but it certainly seems to be your calling. Mm-hmm. And this is only your first year, so I'm sure you've got a lot of years ahead of you for doing it. Do you have any future plans? You want to direct or... You just want to keep doing it till you're a MILF and then a GILF and then...
Well, like, I don't know if I want to direct. I feel like I kind of want to, like, maybe do it for, like, another year or something like that. And then, I don't know, like, maybe just, like, go back to, like, stripping, like, full-time or something, you know? Because I was going to do, like, porn and stripping... But by the time I signed a non-compete to be like a feature dancer at a Vegas club, COVID happened, you know,
yeah.
So I couldn't do that.
You can't be stripping now, really. I mean, we have friends that run a strip club actually in Portland where they're now delivering food. But
oh, really?
Yeah. It's really cool. But
that's awesome.
Devil, what is it? Devil's Eats? Lucky Devil Eats. Yeah, Lucky Devil. But it shows that they care about their strippers, that they're at least keeping them employed. And they're in Portland. Go Portland. So I understand you're a big Black Lives Matter ally, and not just because you have great sex with Jack Slayer, but also for other reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I think racism has unfortunately been a huge part of American
history.
Yeah, and it's sad, and I think a lot has certainly changed over the years. I definitely think it's gotten like a lot better. You know, with some of the recent murders that happened, you know, with Breonna Taylor and, you know, George Floyd, a lot of those things, I think, kind of exacerbated an already kind of, like, stressful situation during, like, lockdown. And, I mean, I don't like to see anybody treated unequally. It sucks. It's terrible. It's awful. It's horrible. And to be treated differently based solely on your skin color, I mean, it's just... It's, I don't know, it's just like kind of gross. It just doesn't sit right with me. It's not an okay thing. And when I first came into porn last summer, you know, people were talking about, you know, like porn is so racist and, you know, girls aren't, you know, Black girls are not getting paid as much as like white girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some Black male talents are not getting hired as much as other Black male talents. And like, they're not even getting paid as much as like white guys. So it was an issue, you know, when I first came in. And, you know, people have still talked about it. And I guess it's been like kind of like an ongoing issue, even that dates, you know, further back than just me joining like the summer of 2019. So I think with a lot of what's happened recently, you know, with like the protesting and things like that, I think it's put like a giant mirror in front of everyone's behavior to kind of show them, like, look, this is what's happening and people are sick to death of it. Let's finally, you know, put our act together and do something about it for some positive change. And we'll see, you know, like a lot of, you know, porn companies have apologized for coming out with, you know, this thing that was racist, or saying they're going to do better and they're going to hire this and hire that. And they've held meetings with some of the black talent in the industry, which is good, you know, to kind of get like their opinion and to kind of hear what they want to see in the future. And all that's really good. And it's just a matter of kind of seeing where we go, like what the actions can produce, because words have to match actions. You can say all you want, but if there's no action that backs that up, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And it's a little bit difficult in porn because unlike a 9-to-5, there is not a human resources department that basically manages everything that's done in porn.
Right.
You know, in human resources, you know, a 9-to-5, you go through what's called diversity training. So you're basically forced to open up to and to be educated on and to be diverse in your company. And, you know, anyone that kind of goes against the grain of that, or, you know, says anything or does anything that, you know, another coworker might find to be like offensive, whether it's racist, whether it's against the religion or sexist, there's people that they can talk to about that. You know, like there are reports that can be filed. There are your supervisor, you know, there's a chain of people you can go to talk about this and to prevent and then reprimand these people so that they don't do these things in the future. And with porn, unfortunately, there isn't really anything that's like that. And
right.
Everyone's like independent. Everyone kind of like works independently as, you know, business owners. And it's kind of just however they want to run their company.
So there's a lot of porn that
continue to see positive change in the future.
A lot of it kind of plays on stereotypes because that's what people look for. And and yet, not all of it does, you know. I mean, certainly the scene I saw with you and Jax didn't have anything to do with that. Sometimes some of the cuckolding scenes are all about the black bull and the white husband, and are kind of playing on stereotypes. And, you know, I mean, that's okay, but I think it's very refreshing to see porn that doesn't really play on stereotypes. It's just interracial because why not? You know, because that's human beings, right?
It's been that way for
right. And I think a lot of people also were even offended by the term interracial in and of itself, because I think a lot of people wanted to see it just say porn. Do you know? Because it's like, I mean, that's what this is. It's porn. It's sex between a male and a female. It shouldn't be like interracial. I think a lot of people had a problem with those terms. And I think AVN, you know, had come forward and said and apologized and said they're going to be removing terms like that from like their database. And there were some other companies that also kind of took note from that as well and said that they were going to be removing terms like interracial from like their movie databases of porn that they had made.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, that's good. It's a stereotype. It's one of those things that a lot of people search for. But, you know, if they can't find anything that way, they'll learn to search for other things.
So. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, it'll be by, you know, talent's name, I guess. And in that respect, then they'll maybe start trending more on, like, Pornhub.
So speaking of searching for your name, of course, you are Bianca Burke. And where can people find you?
I am on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is ITS Bianca Burke. I'm also on Instagram. My official one is, I think it's my, I don't know, like fifth or sixth account, because like Instagram like has suspended so many of them. That one is It's Bianca Burke Official. And then I also have like many vids. So
many
I'm trying to remember what the handle is for that.
Well,
I think it's just like manyvids.com/Bianca Burke.
Okay.
So that's like where like a lot of my amateur content is sold.
I'm sure people can find you there. So yes.
A little history. There was a gentleman many years ago in the 50s and 60s who published a magazine called Eros.
Yes.
His name was Ginsberg. And mm-hmm. it was a beautiful magazine. It was like, cost a lot of money at the time. And it had a picture of a black man's hands on a white body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they went after him for that, prosecuted him.
Wow.
Yes. And they didn't. The reason they prosecuted him was not for that, but of course it was for that, was because he mailed the magazines out of Blue Balls, Pennsylvania.
Ah, right. Yes.
Let me ask you something else. What about this new policewoman that the porn industry has? I forget her name. She's like a porn cop or something. What is her name?
I don't think I have any idea who that is.
What is her name?
I'm not sure who
the one that's turning everybody in.
I don't think I have any idea who that is.
The one that's turning everybody in.
Ginger.
Okay.
What's her last name?
Oh.
Oh, right.
I thought you meant she's actually playing and portraying a cop.
No,
in her
no. She's
porn.
Actually a cop turning people in.
Oh, that's why I was like, a girl where her theme is she's a cop all the time in her porn. I'm like, I have no idea who that is. I actually don't really know her. I met her one time what's that guy's name? At a Greg Lansky Halloween party. She was really nice. You know, I asked her, she used to be a cam girl, and I think mm-hmm. she still is. I'm not sure. Don't take my word on that.
No, she's a police officer now, actually.
Oh, well.
Not really.
I get it now. Sorry. I get it now. Yeah, I guess because there's been some things that she's been like notifying people of that go against the rules or something.
Well, you
like
know
that.
What? You have to be a little careful because what if Slayer 20 years from now says you peed on him and he didn't want to be peed on?
If he said that about me?
No, just teasing you.
Oh, I was like, oh, he was definitely beating on me. That's for sure.
All right.
So.
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we are pretty much out of time.
Yep. We have 3 minutes left.
And so we know where to reach you, and we're very excited to know you and hope that we can talk with you again sometime, and that once this pandemic is over, you come visit us in Bonoboville.
That would be so much fun. Oh, my God. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. And
for sure.
On Wednesday, we're going to have the edited show, which will also have an ad for you.
Yeah.
And
the scene with Jack Slayer.
And a scene with Jack Slayer.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right.
All right. Cool. We love you. Bianca okay, Burke.
Thank you so
Bye,
much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yes. Peace. Well, we certainly had the Vegas connection tonight.
Right.
Yes. The Naked Athena and the Vegas connection. And, of course, another little mention of our old friend who's still incarcerated, Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
And, I guess.
And who's next? Who's the other one that got turned in? What's his name?
I'm trying to remember.
I forget.
Stagliano.
Stagliano.
Right. So, wow. We're certainly all for people, you know, having consent, and that's incredibly important. But we just know that our friend had never committed any non-consensual sex act.
He's been on the show
act
so many times.
In the 35 years that I've known him. We're just very concerned that sex panics and the poison solidarity of going after people that somehow the media portrays as monsters, we're just concerned that that can get out of hand sometimes.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, you should check out my review of Joanne Wipiszewski's great new book, What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Me Too, in Counterpunch. And while you're reading, of course, you should get a copy of Mary Trump's book. And, vote him out and get him out. I mean, right now, it's time to just get him out of the cities. And we want to do it in a bonobo way. That's why we love Athena here. And so make like bonobos. not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you. I love you.
With anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do, but I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi. I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much, which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important ecosexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.